Lord, guide us now as we approach your word. Give us ears to hear and open our eyes and our hearts. Loosen my tongue and thoughts. May your spirit, Father, have full sway as you lead us in the process of growing in you, our sanctification. You have separated us to yourself, and you are washing us in the word. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the spirit. We thank you for the work of Christ. We thank you for the grace that is seen through the whole fabric of everything in scripture and everything in creation. You are the Lord God Almighty. You are our Father. You didn't have to be our Father. You chose to be our Father. We are your adopted children. We seek to know our dad. And we will find you in the Word of God. Lead us now, we pray, to your glory, Father, in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Please be seated and join me in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, 26, 27. Husbands, love your wives in the 25th verse, as Christ loved the church. There's our pattern. There's the model. We have Christ as the model. How does Christ love the church? And that's what we've been looking at for these weeks. And gave himself up for her. And that he might, verse 26, sanctify her. And we've talked about the reality of sanctification in its core value. It means to be separated from. And you have been separated from what you were unto God. And then he says that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. How does he sanctify us? And we're told by washing through the word. Now, we have been looking at the meaning of sanctify, that the Lord has set us as the church, as believers. He has set us apart. And he has set us apart for himself. We are his people. We are his people for his own possession. We use the term, we are the bride of Christ. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter chapter 2, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. That's pretty impressive. A holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once, Peter writes, you were not a people, but now you are God's people. There's that sanctification, being separated unto God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The Lord Jesus has set the church apart. You're not in the darkness anymore. You're not of that group. He's removed you out of that. He says that, and Paul built on that in Ephesians, in 2 and 3 of Ephesians. And so the very next word we come to, as we have pointed out, is to the word cleanse in the Greek. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water. And then we say, we're driven to the question, by the washing of water, how? That would refer probably to our baptism. And then it says, with the word. How important is the word of God? How important is the word of God? I would ask that question and I would get answers. But I don't want to go by what your answer is. Sorry. No, I'm not sorry. Well, we really elevate the word of God. Really? Do you? Do you? Have you been in the word of God since last we gathered? When you weren't gathered? How do you value the word of God? Do you not understand and recognize that the way in which he sanctifies you is from the word? It's by way of this cleansing that the idea of purifying really comes in. And we need to be careful to note the full meaning of this word cleanse. There are those who would confine the meaning to our being washed from the guilt of our sin, and that's true. We've emphasized that. You are washed from the guilt of your sins when Christ died on the cross for you. The guilt of your sins is gone. But that clearly is not going far enough, because we've already found that aspect in the statement that he gave himself for the church and separated her. But now we're being delivered from the guilt of sin, and of course, Christ absolutely cleanses us from the guilt of our sins. But the word cleanse takes us beyond that. Consider the very fact that Paul adds that the cleansing is brought about with the washing of water by the word. By the word. What word might he be referring to? Well, it's pretty clear he's talking about the word of God. Do we actually believe that when we read scripture, we are hearing the word, the voice of God? I think, you know, there's a great problem in the church. I don't want to pound on that, but the idea, we believe in the authority of the word of God, and it's absolutely for everything is based, and then you watch their services. You can do that now on that www thing, if you've heard about that. And the word of God is never read. Oh, the pastor gives some proof text for where he wants to go because of the theme of this month. And they're probably messing around with those texts. But yes, there was the word in the sermon. No, I'm talking outside the sermon. And I've talked to pastors about it, and I know what they'll say. The word of God is boring. And my jaw drops. People don't come to church to hear the word of God. It's boring to hear it read. I say, really? What are you going to do with 1 Timothy 3:14? I might be wrong on the verse, but do not forsake the public reading of the word of God. Yeah, but it's boring. People won't come here. They won't come here. They'll go someplace else. Is that your concern? That they'll go someplace else? You're more concerned with offending a lost person or maybe a very weak Christian than you are than offending God? Something wrong here. But we'll lose attendance, then lose it. The people of God need to be fed on the word of God. Why would you say that? Well, here's where we're going. Does the word of God emphasize, that's Hebrew for emphasize, maybe not. Does it emphasize the word of God? Does the word of God emphasize the word of God? Yeah. But it's boring and people don't like it. Who cares? Do you truly value the word of God? Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm guessing. If the people hate to hear it in church, they hate it equally at home. And they're not hearing or in the word of God. Are you? Have you been in the last week? Well, Paul adds that the cleansing is brought about with the washing of water by the word, which makes it clear that this is something that is ongoing. Yes, I read the Bible once. I've read it. You don't get it. The Lord is progressively sanctifying you, cleansing you, maturing you in Christ. Yes, he does that how? Wonderful music. It's not in, of course, I'm making reference to the word. It's not there. Good fellowship, youth groups, blah, 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 blah. No! How does he do that? Well, I'm going to show you. But Ephesians says it. He cleanses you by the washing with the word, by the word. The washing from the guilt of sin, what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, is once and forever. It's a single action. It's done. You're saved. We're not worried about going to hell now. In Christ Jesus, I am saved. And in Christ Jesus, God is continuing to grow me. And we're going to see this in very soon, because Paul says it right in this verse. In You know what he wants to do? He wants to set you by himself. With him, with him. Behold your God. Oh, I'm looking for that day. How come you're offended by it in this day? This is an ongoing action, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. And that statement shows that it's not merely a matter of getting rid of guilt. That was done on Calvary. But verse 27 establishes the matter still more positively. Verse 27 in Ephesians 5 reads, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor. I love that. When we get there, we're going to see it. That he might present the church to himself. Remember last week when I gave you a silly illustration of my mom when she'd send me to go get a bath. And I'd go get a bath when I was 8 or 9. We're all playing all day in the summer, and you come home and you're filthy. You need the bath. You're head to toe mud. And you come out, and she says, did you take a bath? Oh, yes. And then she starts checking between my toes and behind my ears and in my scalp, and she says, you're filthy. Right? God is going to set himself right to Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. And he wants to set me right beside him. And he's going to. And I'm going to check between his toes. There's no dirt. I'm not literally going to do that, but behind his ears, no dirt. Believer, behold your God. This is where you're heading. And God is pointing out the dirt, that he might present the church to himself in splendor. In splendor, what a concept. Without, and then he doesn't just leave it that. Well, that'd be nice. Splendor, right? No. No spot, no wrinkle. Nothing like that. Without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be. She who she. Y'all. That's Hebrew. No, it's not. It's y'all. You guys. The born again folk. That the church of Christ might be what? Hagios. He's already said this to us. Holy. And without any blemish. None. Well, how do we get there? How do I get to that place? And these very words define Christ's ultimate objective. He says it. I want to put you beside myself, and there will be no blemish on you. Nothing. No dirt between your toes, dirt behind your ears. You didn't see it, but you've got your lifetime in which God is going to show it to you. It might be your anger, it might be this, it might be that, might be all kinds of things that are not Christ-like that are in you. Believe me, he, like my mother, he knows where the dirt is. And he wants you to stand there with him, pure. And the words define Christ's ultimate objective, that the church should not only be delivered from the guilt of sin, certainly, but that the church should also be delivered completely from sin in every shape, completely delivered from sin in every form. Now, that's going to take some time. But you're all living life, aren't you? And every day of that life, the Holy Spirit is sanctifying you. That's what it means. But then we say, okay, great music will do that. No, he doesn't take great music. Splendid scenes, I'll go to nature. No, he doesn't say that. Oh, my friends and fellowship. No, he doesn't say, oh, you know, this or that. No, he doesn't say any of that. How's he going to do it? By the word. Oh, you mean the word we never hear? Right, because it's offensive. Right. The word. The New Testament never stops at guilt. It always goes on. It always goes past that guilt to the further of idea of our being cleansed from something else. The guilt of sin has been dealt with, but you and I Once we're saved, we begin to grow in Christ. That's sanctification, to sanctify. We've been set apart. But now we're being cleansed, not from the guilt of sin, but we are in an ongoing process of being cleansed from the power of sin. And you know, sin has a power. And we can add even to that. This cleansing is not only from the guilt of sin and from the power of sin. This is an ongoing cleansing, as our growth in Christ shows, from the pollution of sin. Remember, we spoke last week about, if I pollute a stream at its headwaters, the whole stream's polluted. So do you think that at some point down here, the stream of your life got polluted? No, you were born in sin. Remember, we did that last week. Who says? Well, you know, where you never go, to the Word says. Psalm 51 and others. The third aspect is very often forgotten. From the pollution of sin. And in many ways, the most terrible thing about the fall, which we see in Genesis, is that the fall has polluted our nature. Sin is powerful within us. We say, no way, I'm born again. And sin is powerful within you. Sin is still there. Come on, be honest. You're looking at Christ and comparing yourself there. You're looking, where should I look to see how Christ looks? Look to the Word. Sin is powerful within us, mostly because of our polluted nature. And this is what Paul describes so fully in Romans 7. Remember, we read it last week, Romans 7:18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me. Paul is saying this. Paul is saying this after his conversion. I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Does that describe us? It does. Did you ever do something and then say, why did I do that? I don't want to cut Paul off, because then he says this. Wretched man that I am. Wow. Who will deliver me from the body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Now that's the pollution. That is pollution. That is not power, but it leads to power. But it is because our natures are polluted. Our nature is tarnished by the fall, soiled, made unclean by the fall. And that's why sin is so powerful within us. And don't you say, nope, there's no sin in me. No, you know there is. It's going to send me to hell. No, it's not going to send you to hell. That's been dealt with. I emphasize that. But don't you realize you're growing in Christ? You say you're a Christian? From the moment that Jesus transforms your heart, that God opens your eyes and changes you, from that moment on, He is cleansing you. How? What do we see in the verse? By the washing of the Word. By the washing of the Word. Well, we don't do the Word, it's boring. Let it clear the sanctuary. Proclaim the Word of God. Let it offend me in my private devotions. Read the Word of God. My mother offended me when she said, there's dirt between your toes. I say, you're nosy. I never would say that to my mother. Don't be so nosy. I'm not looking at your toes, but I'm going to look at the Lord's toes, so to speak. And he's going to say, see any dirt there, son? No. This isn't an offense to us. When you come to Christ, is it not true that you say, Lord, I want to serve you and love you. I do not want to dishonor you. Have you looked at your toes? No, it offends me. Do you really not want to dishonor him? Then grow in Christ. And how will I grow in Christ? Well, let's do it the way... Oh, I'm sorry, I have to use it. Let's do it the way the Word says. By way of the Word. We need to be cleansed. Not only from the guilt of sin, not only from the power of sin, but we need to be cleansed, particularly from the terrible pollution of sin, the stain of it all, and the perversion. Sin has entered into the core of our human nature. It's at the headwaters. It's not downstream. It's at the very beginning. Our very natures are twisted, perverted. And it's very important that we should realize this reality. And that it is true of all of us. So I'm not picking on anybody. It's true of me. It's true of me. It's true of you. Well, you're insulting me. No, you're my brother or sister in Christ if you're Christian. We're all being sanctified as we go along. And we all know that. It's very important that we realize this reality. It's true of all of us. It is not that we are neutral by our nature, that we are tempted from the outside. That's not at all what's happening. Oh, the temptations are from outside. No, the temptations are from inside. That's not the way it is. We are born in sin. That's a quote. From what? The Word. Sorry. We're shaped in iniquity. That's a quote from the Word. Isn't that offensive? Yeah. You know what I say to offense? I welcome it. Don't you welcome when someone says, I need you to know something that's hurting you? Well, I'll be offended. When God says, son, daughter, there's something I need to deal with in your life. It's not of me. It's what you're becoming. You're going to become, and this has to be dealt with. And you're going to say, I'm offended. Because I want you to be cleansed from every spot and blemish and any such thing, you're offended. Is that not the work of the Spirit to tap me on the shoulder and say, Rick, I brought you to this very event, this situation, this darkness to show you this in you, but it's not in your Savior. And it shouldn't be in you. You say, I'm offended. No, I'm thankful. The Bible clearly teaches that children, even the youngest, are sinners. Children are not innocent. Only later they become sinners. No, they're born sinners. Children need God's salvation. We sin. We're growing in Christ. Isn't that the truth? Here we see it. Here we grasp it. That God is leading us in sanctification. He'll have to show us some ugly things. He'll have to show us some things we don't want to look at. And it might offend us to say, I don't like to see that. And our Lord says, neither do I. That's why I showed it to you. Now let's remove it. Let's change it. And if you're a Christian, that's the path we're on. And we'll look at this more closely how the scriptures emphasize from the moment of our salvation to the moment of our death that God is always cleansing us through the word. How were you saved? What's the scripture say? By the word of God. Something that is so prevalent, why is it so absent amongst us? Trust the Holy Spirit, beloved of God. He's not your enemy. He's your loving father, mother, the one who points out, I don't mean to say God is, I'm saying he's like my mom, pointing those things out and saying, I don't want you going to that party or whatever, dirty. I want you to go clean. And our Father sent the Son to die on that cross, and he paid the guilt of our sin. It's gone. And now he's going to present every one of us, his children, without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. The day is coming. But we're in a process until that comes. And we will explore how important the Word of God is in that process, because it's the only way he does it. Let us pray. You are our Father, a loving Father. You have no need to prove that. You could have wiped the slate clean after Adam sinned. You didn't. You could leave us in our sin and wandering around and in the horror of that sin, but you didn't. You opened our eyes, made us see what we were. We were lost, in need of grace. It is you who have reached out to us and saved us. And it is you who will bring us to glory. And there are things you will have to show us as we mature in you. We say we want that. We don't want to dishonor you, Father. We are your children. And so we find ourselves in a strange place of fearing that revelation, the discipline, and knowing that it is for our good and your ultimate glory. Lead us, Father. Guide us, Father. Be glorified in us and in all the church. And we ask it in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and all of God's children said, Amen.